Daybreak, Chapter 3, Part 2. As the bird flies, it was a quick trip to the palace of the Royal Pony Sisters. The ruins were aged, decrepit, and cold. There was even less of a castle nearly a decade later than there was during Nightmare Moon's return. Weather, magic, and various other phenomena had occurred, and none of it had done the stonework any favors. But the Everfree Forest was beautiful. In autumn, it was an explosion of reds and oranges and yellows, swirling in the winds, drifting to the grounds, glowing in the light. It was almost enough to forget what an aberration the untamed land was. Twilight landed in what was once a recognizable courtyard, and was now little more than a stone floor, surrounded by rubble. Digging through the rubble were several ponies, donkeys, and at least one camel, and they chanted a steady beat as they worked. A griffin, who was drawing a scale map on a spare scroll, looked up at the sound of her wings, and he bowed. Princess Twilight?
Hey, Marshall. Is Daring around?
She's further into the ruins. He pointed to Talon. You're in luck. She's in a good mood today. Twilight let her eyes roll back.
Well, we'll see how long that lasts. I'm not exactly bringing happy news.
Marshall Paw clicked his beak. Is it about the Celestia thing?
Yeah.
Twilight patted the waterproof saddlebags at her sides.
I'm hoping that she can help out.
Marshall Paw went back to drawing his map.
More power to you.
Twilight crawled over crumbling stone. The core building of the castle was more easily recognizable as such, though only barely. She was thankful again for the foresight to bring the palace's library to her own castle, and wet drips echoed in the dark crevices, and the rattle of falling rocks rumbled in the distance. Twilight turned a corner and entered the old throne room. The walls were bare where restored tapestries had been moved to museums. Scuff marks dug into the floor where heavy furniture had been moved. At the far end of the room between the thrones stood a mustard-yellow Pegasus mare. She pulled with all of her might against the rope attached to a stone slab. The massive thing refused to budge, and she slumped her rump, caught her breath, and started over.
Need a little help?
Twilight said.
Don't need no help!
The Pegasus snapped.
I've lifted rocks heavier than this thing!
Twilight brought herself next to the stone, pressed her forelegs and chest against it, and gave it a mighty shove. It slid aside with little resistance. Behind the blockage lay a long, narrow hallway leading down.
Okay,
the Pegasus said, brushing her grayscale mane out of her eyes.
Okay, you've earned your keep, whoever you are.
She lifted her face, then bowed down low.
Your Highness. Get off the floor, you're embarrassing yourself.
Twilight giggled.
Miss Yearling.
Daring Do brushed her green shirt off and plopped her pith helmet on her head.
Don't use my work name, I'm in the field. Then, don't use my work name.
Twilight said.
So, I hear you're searching for a mystical butter knife? You've been talking with your mom.
Daring Do brushed past Twilight and headed down the uncovered hallway.
Twilight's the best editor I've ever had, but darned if she isn't a pain sometimes.
Twilight followed close behind her, lighting her horn to cast a purple glow over the two of them. Daring Do kept her voice low.
It's not a butter knife,
she said.
It was a blade used in sacrifice. Pony sacrifice. The princesses hid it away millennia ago to keep it out of the wrong hooves.
Daring raised an eyebrow.
Like Owiezotl's. Creepy.
Twilight ducked a cobweb.
And do you think you found it? Not really, just a clue about its whereabouts.
Daring Do shook some mud off of her hooves.
I'm hoping that if anyone's found it, they just dropped it in a volcano like sensible folks. Chances of that? Pretty much zero.
Daring Do pushed her helmet back.
Hey, do me a favor and keep an eye out for quicksand. Some of the foundations of this palace have basically disintegrated.
Twilight's hoof squelched in the mud.
Oh.
Daring Do squinted.
Oh? What's oh? Just that the mud is up to my ankles now?
Daring Do tossed her mane.
Oh, that's nothing. To get quicksand, you have to get a real deep puddle of mire. It ain't quicksand if you can touch bedrock. Now, there was this one time in Zimbabwe.
With her next step, Daring Do fell into a pool of muck up to her shoulders. Since she had been following close behind, Twilight nearly fell on top of her.
Don't struggle,
Daring said.
Just try to float on top, almost like waiting.
A few bubbles gurgled up out of the mud, and Daring sunk deeper.
Oh, yeah,
she said.
Everfree dirt. Malevolent mud.
she sighed as her mouth went under.
Son of a c-
Twilight's horn glowed pure white, and she teleported herself out of the quagmire. She gripped the tip of Daringdew's tail in a telekinetic spell and pulled. The Pegasus flew out with a wet splurch. The two mud-covered mares looked at each other for a long moment, and Daring seethed.
I should have seen that coming.
When Twilight didn't say anything, Daring extended a wing.
Come on, let's get back to camp. We'll need a full team to get through this.
She licked the corner of her mouth and spat out dirt.
Say, why'd you come to the dig anyway?
Twilight walked behind her as they made a much slower trip back up.
I assume that you heard about the attack on Celestia?
Daringdew's wings dropped, but she nodded.
Yeah, I just heard on the radio that she's doing fine.
Twilight looked away.
You know that she's not really all right, don't you? Yeah, I was just hoping.
Daringdew sucked in a steadying breath.
What's it got to do with me, though? The weapons found on the scene. I think you might know what they are.
Twilight said. She opened up her saddlebags and drew forth a small blade.
Look, but don't touch. The edge is almost impossibly keen.
Daringdew examined it in Twilight's light.
Classic Pegasus design. It dates to Pegasopolis. The design, not the blades. They're brand new. I'd have to cross-reference, but these might even be in the style of those used in the Elite Squadron, Commander Hurricane's personal attack dogs.
Daringdew scratched her chin.
It always ticks me off that they cast Pansy as a private in the plays. He was a Centurion at the time, leader of the Elites. Go figure they completely wuss him out just cause he was a nice guy.
Twilight laid a hoof on Daring's back.
Anything else you can pick up from the blades? Nothing that I can get without a lab and a pile of reference books.
Daringdew scraped the gunk off of her helmet and set it on her grimy head.
But if you give me either or both, I'll get what you need. We'll catch that assassin. You can bet double or nothing. We'll catch her, huh?
Twilight said with a chuckle.
You heard me.
Daringdew's eyes glinted in the lavender light.
Nothing hurts the princess and gets away with it. Nothing and no pony.
Once they were out in the open, Daringdew walked up to the Griffin cartographer.
Marty, you're in charge. I'll be back soonish. Got a personal thing to take care of. National security, you understand.
Oh, yes.
Marshal Paw said. He gave Twilight a long, suffering smile.
Personal matters of national security are a regular thing around here.
Twilight giggled.
I'll take care of her. Promise.
I'll hold you to that.
Marshall extended his wing in the Classis Pegasus salutation.
We'll be here when you get back, I'm assuming.
Daringdew waved a hoof.
I don't know. Might take a while. Finish up here and compile the info. I'll get in touch once things are wrapped up.
She snorted at his lowered eyebrows.
Come on, Marty. This is a cakewalk. This is what you guys were trained for. You don't need me.
She flicked her tail in the general direction of the castle.
By the way, there's a new passage that I just uncovered, but don't go in without being ready for some sticky mud that actually wants to eat you. Get Humphrey to dry it out with his freaky camel powers.
I resent that,
the camel said.
Well then,
Marshall said.
I guess we'll see you when we see you, Dr. Dew.
Daring flashed him a cocky grin, and she gave the same smile to Twilight.
All right, princess. Teleport us out of here.
Twilight stretched her muddy wings.
I figured that we could just fly. I know Ponyville and Canterlot like the spirals on my horn, but it still takes me a few minutes to calculate a jump between them. I don't even want to think about how long it'd take us to bring us out of the ever-changing, always malicious Everfree.
Daringdew's ears flicked back. She marched away from the princess and towards Ponyville.
Okay then, we'll walk.
Twilight narrowed her eyes, and she rushed after Daringdew.
Hey, what about the flying? There's mud on our wings,
Daringdew said.
We'd have to wash them off, and there's nowhere to do that around here, unless you think getting eaten by piranha plants sounds fun.
Twilight's horn sparked, flinging most of the mud off of both her and Daring's wings.
Problem solved.
Daring scowled.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
She spread her wings and took a short leap into the air. Her neck muscles tightened as she held herself aloft with slow, steady flaps, and sweat trickled down her sides. Twilight circled around her with easy strokes.
Are you all right? Let's just get going.
Daring snapped.
We gotta hurry if we want to get back before nightfall.
They flew off at a sluggish pace. Twilight stayed close to Daringdew just behind and beneath her as the adventurer fought to stay in the air. Spike gestured with the hands.
There's the library,
He indicated a restaurant.
The local Hayburger.
He stopped before an officious building.
And City Hall. And now you've seen downtown. Congratulations. What do you think?
Care lightly ground a hoof into the stone road.
It's nice.
Nice?
Spike shrugged.
What? Nothing original? Nothing deeper than nice?
It's a nice little town you got here, partner.
Care shrugged.
What more can I say? It's a nice, small, growing city.
She sat on the steps to Ponyville City Hall.
I've always preferred bigger cities like Manhattan and Canterlot.
Spike propped his hands on his hips.
Well, sure, it's gonna look like a little town next to the city states like those.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Care said.
I just can't say it actually moves me or anything.
Spike tapped his lips.
Different strokes, I guess. So, what do you want to do now? We could grab a bite at the Hayburger before we get you settled at the castle.
Now ain't no friend of mine gonna eat that trash while I'm in earshot.
Care turned at the new voice. She stood and bowed in one swift motion when she found the owner.
Lord Mayor Applejack.
Applejack untied her cravat as she walked out of the city hall's front doors. She tipped her hat to Spike.
Stand on your hooves, Care. You don't gotta eat the dirt for me.
Care shook Applejack's offered hoof.
It's been a long time, Applejack. Shoot, yeah! Been, what, a year?
Applejack grabbed Care's neck in a sideways hug.
Maybe longer. Seems like forever since the new Sapiens thing happened.
She grinned and looked Care right in the eyes.
Good to hear that Celestia's still kicking after that attack. Yeah.
Care said, as with a straight face as she was able.
She's doing great. Uh-huh.
Applejack let a moment of silence hang in the air, and she looked at Spike.
You guys got dinner plans with Twilight?
Nope,
Spike said.
She's away and might not be back tonight.
Gotcha.
Applejack motioned for them to follow her.
Then, let's all head down to the Acres and I can get you some good old-fashioned homemade vittles. It ain't right for your first taste of Ponyville to be.
She made a sour face.
Hey, Burger.
Care shook her head.
I couldn't impose, and you wouldn't.
Applejack trotted across the street.
Come on, Spike, let's show Care what being an apple's all about.
Spike bared his teeth in a glee-filled grin and skittered off.
But...
Care hurried after the retreating pony and dragon.
But I'm a carrot! I won't hold that against you none.
Applejack snickered.
Think of it as an honorary membership, like Spock here.
She patted his tail.
Not a drop of apple in his blood, unless you count the gallons of cider that he guzzles every season.
Well, some pony has to keep up appearances when Rainbow Dash is out of town,
he muttered. It was a quarter of an hour before they crested on one last hill on the dirt road to Sweet Apple Acres. There was a red barn, freshly painted, in which a few cows were wrapping up their day's work. The farmhouse was lit from the ground floor windows as the sun disappeared over the horizon. Apple trees stood with bare branches arching over the road, and a few pumpkins had been placed here and there as artistic merit warranted. Applebloom bent over a sawhorse, cutting a length of 2x4 to size. Her mane was wrapped in a tight red bun, and her vest held a wide variety of tools. The beginning of a wagon stood a few meters away, and she turned her head to greet her sister, but froze, her eyes wide.
God darn it, AJ, I didn't know you was inviting company over!
She frowned to cover up her pink blush.
I didn't even get a chance to gussy up!
Applejack smirked.
Is Big Mac cooking the soup?
Applebloom tilted her head.
Yeah. Then you got plenty of time.
She then jerked her head.
Come here, though. Gotta introduce ya.
She laid a hoof on Care's back.
This here's Care of the Royal Guard, personal guard to Princess Celestia herself, if you can believe it. And this here's my little sister Applebloom.
Care looked up at the younger mare, who had seemed to inherit whatever family gene gave Big Macintosh's size, as she was nearly as tall as him.
Pleased to meet you.
Applebloom's tools clinked as she courtesied.
Pleasure to make your acquaintance, ma'am.
She booped Spike on the nose.
Finally getting some good real eats, huh?
He crossed his arms.
Hey, I can cook pretty well if I do say so myself.
Yeah, I still see you drooling every time you come by.
Applebloom grinned for a long moment, then cleared her throat.
Ahem. Anyhow, I'll get ready for supper. I'll see you guys then.
She rushed off, pausing only to pick up a dropped hammer. They entered the farmhouse and Shirley smiled as they approached. She held a small foal in her forelegs as she graded a few early year tests.
Look, Cinnamon, it's Aunt Applejack. Say hello.
The little burgundy filly giggled.
So, that's my sister-in-law, Shirley.
Applejack said.
And in the kitchen, you're gonna see my big look of an older brother.
Cinnamon gasped when she saw Kara's orange coat.
Oh, Skuru!
Spike lifted a hand and let the baby grab at his claw.
No, that's not Scootaloo, cutie. It's Care. Can you say Care?
Car!
Cinnamon called out. Care and Applejack stood upright, and they shared a slow, mystified glance.
Wow!
Care said.
The more things change.
Cheerily leaned against the table, her cheeks propped up by her hooves.
So, when President Mangle said that all the world leaders were coming, he meant all of them.
Care said, and she licked a bit of cucumber off of her lips.
Turns out, discovering a new sapient lifeform is a big deal. And were they colorful or what?
Applejack shifted on her chair, her hat draped over the back.
We had Breezy, zebras, donkeys, and most of them idiots too. Seabreeze wasn't so bad.
Care slurped up some broth.
And Shardskill was actually pretty cool. Well, points to them for not being total ignoramuses.
Applejack conceded. Applebloom had traded her tool vest and bun for a simple ponytail tied with a pink bow.
Who's Shardscale?
The Chronicler of the World, Spike said. She's a dragon, and I've met her a couple of times, and she flies around from country to country and records the important events that happen.
Applebloom pursed her lips.
What you like?
I don't know.
Spike bit deep into a slice of bread covered in apple butter.
She's big, kind of funny, and I think she described herself as groovy, honestly.
Big Mac spoke up for the first time since saying hello to Care.
Does that mean that she's flying here to record the assassination attempt?
Care chewed on her bottom lip.
I'm not sure how it works. I don't know if she has to be summoned, or if she's just flying around randomly, or if she just...
She shrugged.
She just knows.
Applebloom leaned on her elbow.
How about you, Spock? You gonna be the Chronicler of the World when Shardscale retires?
Maybe.
He looked at his bare back.
My wings would have to grow in first.
Cheerily patted her daughter's head as Cinnamon messily dug into her applesauce.
So, what brought you to Ponyville, Care?
Care went through a mental checklist of things that she could and could not share.
I'm helping Princess Twilight Sparkle track down the pony responsible for Princess Celestia's injuries.
Cheerily sighed.
I hope you catch them quickly, for all of our sakes. Is the princess doing well? Yes.
The lie slid out easily enough, but the look in Applejack's eyes said that she caught it.
Sure as heck,
Applejack said.
Been proven time and again that ain't nothing can keep Celestia down for long. Ain't that right, Care?
Care sipped her water.
Sometimes we wonder why she even has guards.
As you can tell, this fanfiction is a little dated, considering that Big Mac is with Cheerilee instead of Sugar Bell, but that doesn't detract from how good this thing is. It really is nice. Anyway, I'd love to give a very special thank you to my non-outdated donators. Top Donator, Dash of Evergreen, Peter Coldhard, Dresden, Dospo, RuneScythe9852, Courier Crucii, Delta Omega, Ryan E. Dragonwolf, Dwight Cornell, Gaggy, Secret Moon, Tal Rasha, The Toilet Snake, Soul Dragon, Starlight Glimmer, Squiddy Boy, David D. Sanchez, Trey, Pokekiller Zach, Dak Britton, Joe Piercy, Alex F., Rainbow Dash, James Dalton, and Teal K. Anderson. Thank you all very much for watching this video, and live life to the fullest.